Hello.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi, George.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Nice to have you here today.
Yeah, nice to be here.
So how's the weather out there today?
It's pretty much beautiful all the time here.
California.
I mean, when we get rain, we appreciate it because it's so rare.
It's a blizzard here today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like it, though. It's very romantic, fluffy flakes, you know, and spring is going to be here. It's a whole different trip. I enjoyed being in California a lot. I remember leaving here on a cold, wet, slushy day and saying, you know, goodbye forever.
Yeah. I mean, people love it here. They think basically this is the best weather in the country, everybody says, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What part of California?
I like the East Coast better. So.
Oh, you do? Well, you mean not weather-wise or for some other reason?
Weather-wise. I like humidity. I like rain and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's probably, we opened the call already by, you know, being available to talk with each other. And I started the recording and I can edit things out afterwards, but probably people will, probably there's some people already coming on the call and be joining in for maybe 5 or 10 minutes still. So I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, what's the best way to go forward? We can just kind of chat and talk, and that's going to go on the recording. Maybe we should prepare a little bit first, and that might go on the recording too and help prepare people for what we're going to work with energetically today.
I'll just follow your lead, so whatever you want to do.
Okay, I was, you know, obviously the program, I think I emailed you, so you're a little bit familiar with how we're going to focus energy.
Yeah, I got an idea of the topics you want to discuss and so forth.
And that we're a group of people here, and the people who listen to this are involved in manifesting with mind power, you know. What do you call that when in your work or your world when you relate to that whole thing?
Well, creating your destiny, creating your life.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me try pressing 9#. That's supposed to make the entry tones not happen. Just a moment, please. But, no. Somebody, Margaret, was just asking me if she could get on the speaker here. If you pick up my other phone, it might create some kind of effect, which means you should probably go in the other room on the other side of the apartment, maybe. But the other phone right there, yeah, I don't know if it has a mute button on it or something, because we're going to hear everything that you're doing and all of that, so see how that works. I'll tell you, okay, if it's causing too much noise. All right. So we're getting everything set up here. That worked. So, Robert,
okay.
We shouldn't hear anybody chiming in now.
Cool.
Yeah, people will still be joining us, I'm sure, for a while, and I've asked people to be on mute when they come into the call, so most people will probably mute themselves already before they come on the call, and we might have to handle that a little bit too. There's some mute button that I'm supposed to, like, a master mute button, but it's never worked for me yet. And
yeah,
I think it would mute you out, so I wouldn't want to do that anyways.
All right.
But this group is a group of people, what did you say, creating your destiny?
Yeah, consciously creating your life to be what the life you want it to be.
Yeah. And so this is an advanced group of people who have already been involved with my system for doing that and whatever else they've studied, and they're wanting to go further and faster and more. And I think, from my experience, and part of the privilege and the honor of, you know, having you with us today, is that you're an expert on destiny and karma.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse, right?
Sure, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you
work.
Yeah, it's your work. And I personally threw in there because we're working with collective thought forms and in manifesting, like teaching people how they can take like a collective thought form, like the idea that's out there about true love, or when you wish upon a star, doesn't matter who you are, your dreams come true. These are collective thought forms that we're teaching people to handle in different ways in relation to the manifesting scripts that they're writing of the things that they want to have, the dreams that they want to come true. And so that's what we've been doing. And I thought if we could spend some time together, if people could hear from you or hear us talking together about karma and destiny and about a particular collective thought form that I think comes from yoga, which is the idea of conquering death and old age. Mm-hmm. You know, some crazy, wild, impossible thought form that isn't really for those. And I was wondering if we could start first by all introduce you, and then this is just before we get started asking you if you'd even be willing to do this. But I know that you visited that place in India, Kaivarohan, and you sat with you sat in front of a statue that represents someone that I think is a person who walked the earth but attained a divine body. Am I getting it correct there?
Yep. Actually, the word Kaivarohan means he who took on a dead person's body.
Really?
I mean, I know the whole story of that's what the word means. But before, well, it's a long story.
Well, that's what I was kind of...
Go into that.
Yeah, maybe not completely, but I was wondering if you could, because I think that it's almost like vitally important for people who are working with this mind yoga, as I call it, this, you know, focusing, concentrating your mind in order to create your destiny. There's a lot of ways to go about it, but it seems to me like it's really what the ancient yoga masters were teaching, something about focusing and concentrating your mind, practicing yoga. And since we're working with collective thoughts, someone who has literally gone all the way with their practice is, I think, a good collective thought form to bring in at the beginning of our talk about karma and destiny. And it also fits with the fact that we're just talking about any collective thought forms that could be of help. And so I thought, conquering death and old age, well, he's somebody who obviously used his mind power or whatever, you know, that was part of the trip, I'm sure, to get from where he started.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could, if you wouldn't mind, I'll just introduce you briefly, and then if we could start by
ahead.
Just, okay.
I'll just follow your lead.
All right. Well, we're talking, this is George L. Preslian from MillionDollarMindPower.com, and we're privileged and honored to have someone who I think is an expert on karma and destiny, author of Love Cards and Destiny Cards and quite a few other books. Brilliant works of art and science. I can't to this day figure out how he could pull that off, but he did. And Destiny Cards and Love Cards, the pair of books together, to me are like, they're not even books, they're tools. They keep going. You can read them for the rest of your life, use them, apply them. Just really marvelous changes have happened in my manifesting and my mind power and all of that from meditating and working with the material in Robert Camp's books that he wrote. And I also know, you know, that Robert seems very dedicated to his personal growth. Is that a way to say it?
I have a basic commitment in my life to facing everything about myself, to develop myself, to purify, you know, my ego or my misunderstandings of life. And I've done everything I can, and I continue to do everything I can to support that in my life.
Because I had to ask you about that, because as much as I'd like to be like, oh, Robert Camp, author of Destiny Cards and Love Cards and all of that, which is so true, and your website is still 7thunders.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where people can buy those books and find out more about your work. But I have been impressed and touched and moved by the person that you are and the path that you seem to me to be on of whatever you're doing with your personal growth. And so, you know, to me, that's why you could create such great works, so far, and more important to for other people who are just meeting you maybe for the first time, either listening to this recording or being on the call today, I hope that I could transmit the quality of person that I think that you are and the intensity and passion that you've put into your developing yourself. It's like a higher mountain than even the great achievement, in my opinion, of your works that you've published. So that's my introduction for Robert Camp today.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. You know, I believe that, you know, you can want a really great life and you can want to do good for the world, but if we're not living the truth that we're practicing or that we're studying, we have no business talking about it or sharing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, truth is like a double-edged sword. It enlightens us, and at the same time, it will test us and, you know, expose our weaknesses and expose the areas where we need to work to have more freedom and light in our life. So it's an ongoing process, and starts out with really rough things earlier in life, and it gets more refined as we get older, you know, more and more subtleties of little layers being peeled back of misconceptions about ourselves, misconceptions about life, places where love has been withheld inside of us, arising to be healed as we progress through the path. So if we're really walking the path, my teacher, well, Bapaji, you know Bapaji, Kripalu, who was a disciple of, who we're going to talk about today, Lord Lakalish, Bapaji said once, he says, you guys are all trying so hard to get to heaven. He says, but if you just live a really good life down here, heaven will come down and get you. I never forgot that because, you know, that kind of matches my own philosophy of spiritual growth is that, you know, we got to be working on our stuff right here and now and in the present moment. What's really going on, our relationships, our health, our relationship with money, our work, all those things, you know, has to be like complete package.
So now Bapaji is a word of endearment, that a name of endearment that means beloved grandfather, I think. Is that right?
Or beloved father.
Father.
Bapaji. Yeah, I mean, they interchange. Bapaji, Dadaji, these will interchange with father or grandfather.
Uh-huh. So in sometimes in, you know, there's lots of Babaji's, and we're talking about a particular one here who leads us into the connection with the miraculous, marvelous story of Lord Lakalish, which is our touchstone today for the divine body, the ultimate achievement, one of the expressions of the ultimate achievement of yoga. Is that maybe how we could say it? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. It's not necessarily that people do yoga to attain a divine body, but some do. And some yogis, when they reach those final stages, they look at little milestones, and the divine body is a huge milestone along the path way of enlightenment. So if somebody reaches that, it's like a huge accomplishment. So I happen to know that Kripalu, you know, really wanted to achieve a divine body in his lifetime, but he did not make it.
That was one of the things that impressed.
His guru had attained it.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead. I said his guru attained it, but he wasn't able to.
Right, so his guru is Lord Lakalish.
Right.
Or, you know, the story of that, you probably know it so much better than I do, you know, but at some point in this man that we're calling Babaji, which was Swami Kripalvinandaji, who is, you know, walking this earth until the 80s, I think, 1980s or something?
I think it was early 90s when he died. I can't remember the exact date, but I think it was actually into the 90s.
Yeah, and what Robert and I are talking about is that he really passionately was working on having his divine body manifest in this life. And I remember somewhere it was written or that he said that, you know, if he didn't make it, then we should just consider that he was an ordinary seeker.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty ruthless with himself. You know, he was celibate his entire life. He never had sex, never had a marriage or a relationship. He was silent for over 20 years, didn't speak at all. He meditated every day. I mean, he did everything there was to do, but the task of becoming, of achieving a divine body is one that is not often accomplished in one lifetime.
Right.
And so there's this, but then you'll see, there'll be some people that will attain it really quickly because they did all the work in their last lifetime. It puts us into reincarnation, which I don't know if all your listeners are in agreement with reincarnation or not, but, you know, the theory behind it is that whatever gifts and abilities we've developed in this lifetime, they're carried forth into the next lifetime. We may not remember that we studied piano or music or science or anything, but when we come into the next life, we have a natural, just pick it right up kind of a thing. And so some yogis who seem to attain instant enlightenment in the current lifetime are those who practiced it diligently for one or more lifetimes and put a lot of effort into it. And then it seems like it just happens in this lifetime like a miracle. But it's actually the result of the hard work they had done many times before.
Hmm. And so at some point, this Bapuji that we're talking about, Swami Kribhavanandaji, who's kind of inspired the man who started the Kripala Yoga Center in the United States, was his teacher.
Right, his teacher, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Babaji's teacher is this Lord, he later discovered was Lord Lakulish, and that was one of the milestones in Babaji's, I think, path, is that he realized that this ancient Lord Lakulish was the same man who in his lifetime he had actually spent some time with and was his guru.
Yes, he didn't know the whole story at first, and for years he met his guru, you know, it seemed to be by accident. Actually, he had become so disenchanted with life and Kripalu had, that at the age of 19, he was going to kill himself. Because he had explored everything, and he said that there was nothing in the world that was really meaningful for him.
He was going to jump in front of a train or something.
He was planning to kill himself have a train run over him when this man came out of the shadows and introduced himself and said, you shouldn't kill yourself by running in front of a train.
And he'd never told anybody that was what his plan was.
Yeah, he hadn't mentioned this to anybody. So the man immediately got his attention. This was an older man. And it turned out later that this older man was Lord Lakulish, who had attained a divine body and who had just taken on this body to be Bapuji, to be Kripalu's teacher for a couple of years. I think he was only with him a couple of years.
Yeah. You mean that was what he, that was part of the story, that was his reason for taking on that body?
Yes.
Was so that he couldn't...
Yeah.
Wow.
It was primarily to find Kripalu and to get him on the path, because he was destined not just to meet him and all, but also destined to do a lot of work for the Sanatan Dharma a belief that was part of Lord Shiva's teachings, Lord Lakulish's teachings, Brotherhood of Man.
So
you know, it's a, yeah, go ahead.
Lord Lakulish is a form of Lord Shiva.
He was supposedly the, I think, 28th incarnation of Lord Shiva.
Who?
Now, that gets into a lot of stuff, but basically he was a man that lived, I think it was about 3,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. I can look it up. I don't have the dates right now. But He lived and he attained enlightenment through yoga and a divine body in his lifetime.
Yes.
And after he attained a divine body, then they said, well, he's an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And he started what's called the Pashupat Yoga Path, which is a Shiva yoga path when he was alive. And it's going until this day. It's still going. That yogic line of teaching is still happening. So he came down and took a body of this old man who had died and inhabited it for a couple years to meet Papaji and also to meet some other people that he got to do to create. They built a temple and so forth and started some schools and things like that. There was work that was being done by him coming down.
By Laku Leash, taking on an old man's body and doing some things.
But he actually showed himself to Kripalu. He showed himself in his true divine form.
Later on, many years later, long after he was 19.
Yeah, and the divine form is a body that's around, that looks to be about 19 years old. It's youthful, like a young man or young woman. And, there's a lot of qualities about it, you know, and it's basically, you can do all kinds of things when you have a divine body.
Yeah, car rental is not necessary.
No, you could travel anywhere, you can materialize, dematerialize, you don't need food, you know, that's just one of many of the yogic powers that you attain through the practice of yoga.
So this is just to keep everybody who's listening to the recording today and everyone who's live with us, welcome, by the way, and thank you for being with us and supporting, you know, our talk and our call and the work that we're doing in the 12-week program. But just to keep it all on track here, we're definitely on track, but just to make it the link with the conscious minds, that are following the story that we're weaving here around the collective thought forms of conquering death and old age, the collective thought form of karma, and the collective thought form of destiny, we're kind of following the story of somebody that Robert Camp, who I'm speaking with today, has had, I think, kind of a direct connection because he traveled to India and went to this temple where Lord Laku Leash, where there's a statue of Lord Laku Leash made out of a meteorite.
Well, this statue is considered a national treasure. It was unearthed in a farmer's field once. That's how it was discovered. It is a statue. It's a lingam, and most people have seen lingam stones from India before. But this particular lingam stone has a man coming out of it or in it or sitting in as part of it. And this man is a young boy around 19 years of age with long hair, and his name is Lord Laku Leash. Well, when they first discovered it, the farmer first discovered it, he got Kripalu to come look at it, and when Kripalu saw it, he started crying because he recognized the face of his teacher because he had seen him once or twice.
Not the old man, but his teacher appearing in his divine body.
And that, when he discovered that this was his teacher, you know, he broke down into tears, and he immediately, you know, decided that he was going to build this temple for this. And this statue, they don't know what it's made out of. They haven't been able to figure out. And what's really amazing about it is that there's not one scratch on it anywhere.
No kidding.
I've been there and seen it, and it is absolutely spotless. There is no dent, you know, no chip anywhere on this thing.
Wow. So, and it's like 5 feet tall or something, or...
Yeah, it's about 4.5, maybe, because he's sitting. He's in a sitting posture in front of this lingam, and it's pure black, you know, it's total black. And they have it sitting in this beautiful silver. They've made this huge silver yoni, which is the feminine, basically vagina. It's a huge, like, oval-shaped silver thing that he sits in. And And it has, they also have this beautiful giant silver cobra that wraps around it. And then you'll see behind him all these cobra heads. It's pretty impressive looking, the picture of it. I mean, it's when they do the whole thing, when they have big celebrations, though, and they're always putting, sandalwood paste on him and flowers, and there's incense burning constantly. And I sat there, I've been there twice, and I sat with him each time 2 or 3 days, and the energy is just profound sitting there. I think anybody just being around that statue would recognize that there is something really powerful happening on a spiritual level in the presence of that statue. It's just phenomenal.
And you're not there because of religious reasons when you did that. It's because of more just a personal connection. It's not like you're Hindu or something following a religion. You're there because
you're... I'm not a Hindu, but I feel a strong connection to Lord Lakalish for whatever reason. And, I have a copy of his statue on my altar where I meditate, and it's where I go for help
mm-hmm.
and guidance and for inspiration. So when I was there visiting him, I got really inspired being there, and just in the presence of that energy, our thoughts are uplifted to a higher level. Just being in they call it the darshan, to be in the presence of a holy man or somebody of an enlightened mind. Your own thoughts will be lifted out of the normal rut that we get in to much higher thoughts. So I go there to be renewed and to be reconnected to my own higher self, where I have more power. And I every time I've gone there, I've come away also with a lot more clarity about my life and what I'm doing and where I'm going.
Did the course of events in your life always end up changing after that?
That's not why I went, but when I have a new realization and I see myself, when I see that there's something has to change in my life and I'm clear about it, I don't waste any time. I take action. So that's what I did a couple times, and I definitely did change my life, especially after the first visit. That was the more profound one for me.
The first one, when was that? Approximately.
I would say 2002, 2003, somewhere.
Oh. I just want to say to the people who are listening, there's some people that you don't have your phone on mute. It's pretty quiet now, but we're hearing some noises in the background. And if you could just press 4-star... everyone who's listening, if you're not sure if you're on mute or not, just press 4-star, and if it's there's a voice that comes on that says you are now muted, and then when you press 4-star again, it says you are now unmuted. So you can't go wrong pressing 4-star. But I'd appreciate it if everyone who's not Robert Camp could just press 4-star and make sure that you hear that voice say that you're muted now. Thank you. That's still a couple more people. One more person. Area code. No, that's Robert. Okay, we're good. So why are we talking about all of this is very, there's a reason. There doesn't need to be a reason, but I like to keep that logical, rational part of us well informed as we continue through the program and through our work today, that we're talking about somebody who... Lord Lakalish, who manifested the divine body, and we're talking about somebody who's actually has a real relationship with that person or that entity now. And so there's two things going on here. One thing is this person or this being, Lord Lakalish, is a very great collective thought form in and of themselves. This whole idea of using like a guide or a master or a person or a statue or, anything, these are very much like what the idea that I'm trying to transmit in these 12 weeks about how to use a collective thought form like, my dreams come true or having $1 million. These are things that are out there, like a statue, and you don't need to, or the being or the person that you connect to through the statue is similar to the energy you connect to through a collective thought form. And this is where I was going, partly with bringing this up, as well as just personally also feeling a kind of strong connection with Lord Lakalish, and him obviously being somebody who has, I think, gone much farther than any of us have gone yet in terms of what we're all doing with, you know, manifesting with mind power or creating our destiny or creating our own reality. I'm pretty sure, although how would I know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that he went a lot further than any of us on this call or anyone listening have on the same road that we're traveling. Does that, can you relate to that at all?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, you know. I mean, we don't know the history of all the lifetimes that Lord Lakalish went through before he attained his enlightenment, but he achieved it. And one thing I learned when I was visiting with the people in the Order of the Magi, which is another group connected with the card system that I work with, is that the things that we earn in our spiritual practice are things that can never be taken away from us. They are our rightful good, and we can never lose them. So any work that we do on ourselves in any lifetime of a spiritual nature, which means working on ourselves, they say, like, lay up your treasures in heaven and not on earth. That's what they're referring to. They're referring to the work that we do on ourselves. That is our true spiritual treasure that we carry with us from one lifetime to the next, and we can never lose it. It can never be taken away. It can never be diminished, those gifts. So Lord Lakalish, you know, we don't know how many lifetimes that took. We don't know what his personal path was. All we know is that he did it. But anybody, I believe that anybody could achieve that. But at first, you know, we have to go through our life. We all have our own goals. Like, I'm sure that, you know, everybody here has experienced, who's listening has experienced, just wanting to have more money in their life. You know, what's wrong with that? Let's just have more money. I just want to, like, I've gone through a period, I just want to have more money in my life. That was my goal. You know, I wasn't thinking about enlightenment. I was just thinking about money.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's, these are all stages. Like, I think it's a later stage, really, for most of us. Even having an interest in enlightenment comes, I think, later in life or later in our development, because we have to first go through all these stages of wanting all these other material things first.
Yeah, so let's transition a little bit towards that direction, having now, you know, touched in with, and for the reason and purpose of having a guiding light over this conversation, let's say, and over everyone's, you know, work with this entire program. I think it's helpful, even though we individually, people may not be going for enlightenment. It might be money or a great relationship or something, or all bunch of things. But the very same practices and techniques and things that we're all working on to manifest or create our destiny or our reality or these things, I believe from my studies so far that we're engaged in the same thing that Lord Lakalish was engaged in to get where he was going, but he just went about it for the purpose of enlightenment, or ended up at the direct, that's where this ends up. And even if we're not going there today, it's probably a good idea to have somebody who did around, or be aware at least where we're going, because you can get off the path of even doing good manifesting if you don't keep a high keep a high vibration or a good light as you're getting involved with the material world and all these things.
The other thing is, imagine for a moment, like, we all have these lists of desires, you know, everybody does. So imagine for a moment if all of your desires were fulfilled, all of them. Like, everything that you wanted from the material world, whether that be love, money, success, recognition, health, you know, all the things. If all those were fulfilled, first of all, it's hard to imagine what we would be like if we achieved all that, you know, if we had that. But perhaps at that stage, our thoughts would turn to a different direction. You know, perhaps at that stage, our thoughts would turn to more of, like, connection with God, connection with the higher parts of ourselves. We would be more, less focused on the external world and more focused on the internal world. You know, as a natural progression, not as something that is contrived or forced upon us or in any way, you know, like it just would be natural. I think, I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling that's how it is.
Yeah, or at least as people get some of their needs and wants satisfied, it even gives them the means to. One thing's for sure is people who, if today we all achieved 100% of all our dreams come true, and we're living in that now, at this very moment, I'm certain that everyone would have new dreams and goals at least, if not turning towards the kind of things that you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, you'll see that in the world that a lot of people, when they achieve a lot, they start wanting to give back to the world in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, I heard a click.
Yeah, I know. There are all kinds of phenomena on these lines.
So, you know, first we want so much for ourselves, and then when we get it all, then we want to share it and give it. And I think that stage of giving is a higher progression, is a higher stage in our development, because we're not wanting anymore. We're just giving, you see. And I just sense, and from all the reading I've done, I sense that we don't really leave the earth plane for good until we are completely fulfilled and we're just in a state of love, which is giving. Love is giving. So I think that's part of it, and I think that's a place where we get to once we realize that we have everything and we're manifesting and having everything in our life. What's left? Well, we give. And then in giving, we lose all of our attachment to the world. We lose attachment to things. And that's what, I think, binds us here more than anything else, is our attachment to wanting this or that.
Which is interesting in relation to manifesting. But let's just look at destiny, because
yeah,
that's something that is maybe binding us to this world. And, you know, before we switch to destiny, I need to find a way to explain to people who are listening that it's my opinion that Robert Camp is a real expert on the subject of destiny, to put it mildly. I mean, I've privately asked him about his relationship with the Order of the Magi that goes back to legendary Atlantis, according to Olney Richardson, who is also a master of the Order of the Magi. What would you call him? The Grand Master of the Order of the Magi or something like that?
Yeah, he was the Grand Master of the Order of the Magi around the turn of the last century, or in the 1890s and into the early 1900s.
Yeah. So, you know, I've privately asked Robert Camp about, you know, where he's at in terms of this Order of the Magi, and I came away from that thinking that, you know, we're all very lucky to have Robert's, to be able to enjoy the fruits of his labors and to talk with him and spend time with him on the subject of destiny, because he's been acknowledged by not only the achievement of his work, but who he associates with and what he's involved with and what his status and role is with all of that regarding this, the card science, using the regular playing cards like a computer to handle or work with or know about your destiny in a very precise way that I've found very helpful in terms of navigating your manifesting and figuring out, you know, what's best for you in terms of what dreams should I try and make come true.
Yeah, the cards reveal now. Some of your listeners may not really know what we're talking about, and when you mention the word cards, I think the first association anybody would have with that would be like a reading that you see gypsies doing or fortune tellers doing, where they shuffle a deck and lay them out, you ask a question or whatever. And I think for the benefit of your listeners, it would be good to tell them that this system has nothing to do with anything like that, that this is a mathematical system. And that the deck of cards that we use for our playing games and so forth is actually a mathematical system that was just basically the secrets about it were kept secret for a long time. And nobody knew where the cards came from or what their real purpose was until around the turn of the century when Olney Richmond wrote his first book. But, you know, I think it would be good to share how the cards match the calendar briefly.
Okay.
So that people understand what the importance of the deck of cards actually is.
52 cards in the deck, 52 weeks in the year.
Yep, that's one thing, absolutely. And then if you take, there are 13 cards in each suit, and there are 13 full moons every year, and 13 new moons every year. But the most amazing fact is if you take the deck of cards and add up the number value of every single card in the deck, where the ace would be a 1 and the 2 is a 2, and then jack would be 11 because it's after the 10, and then queen would be 12, and king is 13. And you add up these number values of the entire deck, and it adds up to 365 and a quarter.
Wow. So even the leap year is taken care of.
Because there's a joker in the deck whose value is, it's a long story, but he's basically the value of 5 quarters. He is all the 4 suits plus himself, which is an unknown factor, basically. The joker is a... Only birthday of Joker is December 31st. And people born on December 31st cannot be read by this system. They are an enigma to this system because they can be any card in the deck they want to be.
Wow.
But see, the point here is that the deck of cards is actually a very concise, precise, symbolic representation of the calendar that the Earth and the cycles that the Earth goes through from the perspective of the Earth. Everything about it is the calendar of the Earth. And that's what's important, and that's what makes it so unique. And that's the one fact that has been overlooked by most people. And it's just now becoming, people are just now becoming aware of that, of the importance of a deck of cards and how it really works. So to those who knew this knowledge, they kept it secret for a long time, but they've always kept it. You can look at your birthday, and it will reveal not only a pattern, a card that you were born under, that is called, we call it the birth card, that reveals so much information about people. That, just that one thing, the birth card, can essentially enlighten you about yourself.
100%.
It can actually help you know what your best career is, what your best, you know, I mean, George, you're a jack of clubs, right?
That's right.
And you're that's the same card as Oprah Winfrey, right?
Right.
And you're doing similar work to her. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You're bringing, like, conscious awareness and enlightenment to people in the same way that she is, just in a slightly different format, but not that much different either.
Yeah.
And that's a jack of clubs energy being utilized on the highest level.
Nice.
So every single birth card, every single card has an expression that could be regarded as the highest expression of that card. And wouldn't it be nice to know what your birth card is and what your highest expression is?
And wouldn't that be...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, wouldn't that then help people who are looking, you know, at what's the best thing for me to manifest in terms of, like,
yeah,
you said, career?
What kind of work should I do? Absolutely. I have had a lot of people give me feedback that it has helped them, that information. It helped them get on track. It helps them to also accept themselves for who they are. You know, like, we grow up in a family system where there are certain expectations placed upon us by our parents. Oh, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. I mean, none of that really affected me, though my father did, you know, my mother and father did have some expectations of me, and I think all parents do. But, you know, so we get confused. That's just one of many reasons why we can become very confused and lose touch with who we really are and what really is our real thing in life.
Which then relates to what should we manifest, you know, because when it comes to money, then the next thing that usually comes up is career and job and life purpose.
Yeah, the career is the way to manifest, absolutely. In my own experience, for me, it was like I realized at some point that I could really do anything career-wise. So it was no longer about, it wasn't so much about a job, what's the right job for me, but what was the work that I would do that would make a contribution to the world that I could really get into and would use the talents that I have. Because I searched for years and years before I discovered astrology and this card system. And I was praying and praying and saying, God, please show me what I'm meant to do. Because I knew I had something to do. I didn't know what it was. You know, I mean, I didn't know for years. And I prayed. And when it finally showed up, I was extremely grateful. I had waited so long.
Did you you know, develop the card system before or after you visited Lakulisha's temple at Kaivarohan?
Oh, it was way before, but I was actually studying and meditating with Lakulisha before the card system, but I never went to India until just, you know, the last 5 years. I had been doing astrology now for almost 20 years.
Yeah. So,
for those of you out there who haven't found your life's work yet, and that's how I call it life's work. You can say, well, what do I want to manifest? But, you know, that's great. But for me, it had to be like, what's my purpose? What am I doing here? What am I here for? What does God want me to do here? That was my question. What does God want me to do? Go ahead.
Well, so in using the collective thought form, as I'm calling it, for the purposes of our teleseminar series, this idea of showing people that you can just take something that's out there, like destiny, and consider it for what it is. It's a thought form. You can then work with that thought form and get involved in all kinds of different ways. Robert Camp is involved with that thought form in the way of working with the destiny cards or the science of the cards or what, you know, different names people use, but destiny comes up quite a bit around the card system. And someone else, you know, might think of destiny as, isn't that the name of some rock band or something, you know, but we're talking about destiny is in and of itself, it's a collective thought form. And how can that be connected to helping you amplify and boost your ability to have 100% of all your dreams come true, so that sometimes people are not in line with themselves about what is the best thing for them to do, and destiny can be a real guiding star, even though people might say, I don't believe in that, or that's associated with karma somehow, or, you know, believe that I'm free and that I can do anything that I want to do. And I'm just saying that I think for the people that are working here with us today and listening at any time in the future, that if you use destiny as a collective thought form, not a belief system, you know, that you believe in, but as something that you recognize is a big energy that lots and lots of other people for a long time have related to, and so it has a lot of charge to it. It has a lot of energy, destiny does. And if you relate to it as a collective thought form and just allow yourself to have a relationship with it, it can be extremely helpful because it's very closely related to manifesting your heart's desire, finding out what is your heart's desire, and fine-tuning what it is. And the destiny card system is, I found it to be 100% accurate. It's symbolic, but it's 100% accurate on getting you in line with what is your destiny. What can you say something more about that? Because obviously you're the expert and I'm just...
Well, I think, first of all, I want to mention that I never tell people to believe in this system. I invite people to test it for themselves, you know. Give it a test run and see. Like, check it. Like, because it has the past, present, and future information all there. So you can actually go into your past and see, you know, ask, you could say, oh, well, here's the year when I got married. Let's see if it shows up in the system or not. And you can test it first to see whether it's actually accurate. I found it to be 100% accurate. But it took me a year or so of testing it to to really come to that conclusion. And I didn't want to, I wanted to believe in it. I really did. But I didn't, it was sounded too good to be true when I first discovered it. I thought, this just can't work. It's just too good. So I tested it. And after testing it for a year, first of all, it got me right off the bat like it does a lot of people, because the very day that I found out about it and was able to look into my spread and see what I had, something had happened that same day, earlier in the day, that it told me about it in that first reading, and it just blew my mind. It was something that nobody knew about. It was secret. Only I knew about it, but it had definitely happened to me, and right there it was in my cards, and I was almost shocked to see that it was showing up there.
It's just like
maybe that may not happen to every single person that checks it out, but I think if you test it for yourself, you can yourself then decide whether it's valid or it's useful. And once you see how the patterns work, it provides a roadmap for success. I mean, I teach this in my classes even. I say to people, if you can see what your influences are coming, and if you align yourself with them, because every card that shows up in our year, and we have a group of like 17 to 35 cards for every year, every single card has a high expression, and we can sort of commit ourselves to manifesting that higher expression of each card, and in doing so, we have continual success in our life. That's what I've found to be true. It's like a tool that I can use to keep creating success over and over again.
It sounds to me like, you know, a roadmap for success, and what people do using the system that I designed, the Life Transformation System Z, is an excellent, well-organized way of coming up with what you imagine is best that you'd like to have manifest, which is kind of a guiding star or a roadmap for success in its own way. But when you combine the roadmap for success that Robert Camp is talking about with us today, you know, how would you use the destiny cards to sort of see, you're saying, like, you know, your destiny or what is laid out before you your own personal destiny card reading for that year ahead, or that's kind of like showing you where you're going. And if you consciously meditate on the higher aspect of what's where you're going according to that roadmap, that can really help you manifest the best life that you could possibly have.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think people test it out and they see that, wow, these cards really do show up accurately, and what they say is happening or has happened definitely did happen or is happening. And then you look into the future and you say, okay, I have this really great money card, let's say, for example. This is one thing I did about 10 years ago. I had a really great money card coming in 6 months. I saw it. And it was in my money period, which is the Jupiter period of the year, which is like the middle of the year, basically, starting after your birthday. And so I said, well, how could I take best advantage of this influence? And I said, well, I have to create ways where people can give me more money. I just need to create some ways where, like, the money is going to be falling out of the sky during this period. How can I create opportunities for people to give more money to me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had 6 months advance notice. So I sat down and I created more products. I created some new products for the card system. I created new instructional materials. I created new software, instructional tapes, different kinds of reports and readings. And then by the time that time period came, I had everything in place. And I made more money in that period, which was a period of about a month and a half, than I had made in the entire previous year. Because I had aligned myself with that and acted upon what I saw coming with confidence. Well, because in my own life, I don't have any doubts anymore about the system. It's already proven itself to me over and over again. So when I see it, I act on it, and it always has success. It's just amazing, actually. And it's like one of my friends calls this the God's plan for man. It's an interesting thing. Everybody looks at their cards and interprets them slightly different, I think, because these cards hold personal meaning to each of us in different ways, you know. So I think we look at these cards and we go, one person will look at one thing and one person will look at another. And but everybody gets this message, this clear message, you know, about what they need to do and what's going on and what the real truth of it is. And it's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. Does that answer the question? I'm not sure. I kind of went off.
No, it's really important and good, because I was just thinking how privileged and lucky people are, in my opinion, who are participating today and who are listening later to this recording, because we're telling you things that are, you know, how to improve and refine and fine-tune and amplify, you know, what your goals and dreams are. And we're kind of jumping it to a whole new level of destiny by just simply focusing on that collective thought form of that one word, destiny, and then, you know, bringing and being having the good fortune, and however it's working out, that we're actually talking to somebody who's a real expert on that and who's published, you know, books that you can, like Robert is saying, you can go and go into your local bookstore or go to Robert's site, SevenThunders.com, and you can order Destiny Cards and Love Cards. Those are probably the best books to start with, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's enough to keep somebody, you can use those two books the rest of your life. I mean, that's really, they comprise about 75% of the entire system. There's more, there's some advanced things, but those two books have so much, you know, that there you have it. And it's a useful tool. It's a tool, basically. We use it.
And I would say in you know, relation to the people that we're talking to today and what we're talking about, that if you think of the goals and dreams that you have written down, and whatever your system you're using, whether you're using the Life Transformation System Z, or whether you're using whatever it is that people have this thing these days where they have these goals and dreams written down that they want to manifest. And I'm saying that there's another book that's written about what's going to happen in your future, which your goals and dreams, if you think about it, they're going to happen in your future. If they're ever going to happen, that's the only place they're going to happen, is in your future. Yes, that future will become your now, and when it's your now, then you'll have manifested your goals and dreams. But there's this other book, the book of your destiny, if you will, that's written, and Robert has put it down in a way that you can go and, you know, buy the love cards and destiny cards. I think they work like a companion set. Personally, I couldn't see using just one. But I guess if...
Yeah, well, the Cards of Your Destiny book has your past, present, and future in it, and that's the one for timing of things. But it doesn't tell you anything about your card, your birth card, and your ruling card, which are your symbols of your life and your lifetime karma. You have to look in the Love Cards book to discover more about yourself and about the people in your life and the way you relate to them. You know, who in your life is really helping you and who in your life is really a problem, and you know, so forth and so on. What is the nature of your relationships, and what's happening to each person in that relationship? That's in the Love Cards book.
Yeah.
But the Destiny Cards is the one where you're looking at the blueprint of your entire life, of the year by year, month by month, what are the influences that are present. And by the way, you don't even use any cards to use this system. There's no cards involved. No physical cards.
Huh.
It's all done mathematically.
But if you ever end up playing a card game or going to a casino after you've worked with the Destiny card book, it's quite an experience. Suddenly the cards are like talking to you. Oh, there's the...
Spoken like a true jack of clubs.
I'm sure
George has probably thought of, you know, maybe there's a way I could actually win blackjack with this.
Well, what it does is it makes me feel, you know, not like I'm not alone when I'm sitting there if I ever do that kind of thing, because it's like this family of cards that each has their own personality and a whole meaning behind them. And suddenly, as, you know, the three of clubs appears, or a ten of diamonds or whatever it is, the card shows up, and it has so much more depth and richness. And I think that's what, you know, what we're talking about today, and maybe if one person or two people or who are listening to this call are inspired to, you know, pick up the books and read this roadmap of your future that's been marked out by Robert's by the system that Robert has written books about, that very similar life transformation system Z is studying the whole world of, you know, manifesting with mind power and saying, hey, here's a system that you can apply that will reliably get you what you're looking for. And if you, Robert's saying, like, here's a thing, destiny, and here's a way that you can navigate and know and test for yourself in a very scientific and yet also extremely artistic way, creative
way. You also find out more about yourself. First and foremost, I think people are drawn into the system because it offers them greater understanding of who the person they are is. And because our birthday, whether we like it or not, you know, I can take, you can give me the birth time and place and date of a newborn child, and I can look in that chart of that child and tell you all about what that child's life is going to be like. All kinds of information I can tell you from the moment that child is born. There's an imprint that happens at the moment of our birth, and when you look at your and read about your cards in the Love Cards book, you're reading about yourself. You're reading about the pattern you're born under. And every birthday has these really unique and amazing little patterns that are a part of it. And that, I think, is the first thing people go for. And then they start to see it can be useful for planning and understanding what their career is and all the rest, relationships and so forth.
Yes. Well, our time has...
I'm sure you've used it for all those things, George.
No, the reason that I'm so grateful to have this recording made and this call with you on it is because it's difficult to tell people. You know, you start saying how great the Destiny Card System has been, how much I've used it in my manifesting work, doing exactly what the purpose of this teleseminar is to help people improve in a spectacular way. Like, what's one thing you can do? What's one new thing you can know about that's going to help people who are already working on manifesting their goals and dreams with a great system? How can you do a whole lot better? And for me, the exposure to the Destiny Card System from some old lady telling me about it, you know, I'm saying that in kind of a certain, maybe old lady is not the right way to say it, but she was old. She was 80. She was something like that. And I kind of dismissed her telling me about the Destiny Card System and went and looked at it just because she had asked me to, and I was being polite to her. But I was just sort of like, oh, you know, another flaky thing. And that...
That's a great story.
You know, that was the beginning of my immediately then going, looking it up on the internet, finding Robert Kemp's site, getting maybe there was like a free report or something like that. And immediately it caught my attention because of its accuracy and reliability. And that is something that I'm interested in terms of there is a lot of crazy stuff out there, and filtering through it and finding the good stuff, I've been privileged had to have kind of a knack for that, but it, you know, happens against my own lower nature sometimes. As I was saying, you know, I almost dismissed it, but ever since then, and that's maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, I'm not sure, I'd have to say that, you know, next to, you know, the personal work that I do with my own manifesting and my own manifesting system, the Destiny Card System is like the closest companion and the greatest help of, you know, that I've ever had of anything. So if there was anything as far as a collective thought form or something you can add, or, you know, it's like those fuel additives, you put it in your car, those nitro boosters, flip the switch and suddenly a bunch of nitrous oxide goes into your fuel mix and your car speeds forward a lot faster. You know, the Destiny Card System, because of its ability to help you make this roadmap, to understand the roadmap for success that your soul has already laid out for you. And I love what you said about people looking at their Destiny Cards. They look ahead, you know, after they've done what you first recommended, is get in touch with themselves more. Probably the most valuable thing you could do in manifesting. But in terms of, okay, you want to know where you should go and what you should manifest, look at your cards in the future and figure out what's the highest expression of that. And there's right there a pretty good map about what to manifest.
Yeah, it actually tells you, you know, and like I was thinking of an example, like there's a card for advertising. there's a card that tells you when it's great, a good idea to get into advertising. There's a time for more introspective work. There's a time for creative work that are indicated in the system. There's a time for moves, for changing locations, for changing job, for changing lifestyle, changing relationships. All those things are indicated there. And when you see it confirmed there and you're already thinking about it, it's really, I feel like it just, you know, it makes me, allows me to move ahead with a lot more confidence in my own stuff.
And we really need to go, because if I don't want to keep you longer, and we should stick to our time.
Sure.
And it's up. But timing is something that the Destiny cards have added a sense of timing to my manifesting, where we write our goals and dreams down, you know, in the system that I help people with, as if they're already happening in the present moment. That's the main sort of way that we express them.
The technique and, you're using. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so doing that, you know, people have questions sometimes, you know, well, we like to just say if it all comes true right now and you hold that vibration and then you sort of let it unfold. But as far as getting more fine-tuned about the timing of things unfolding, or when and things might be best to happen, or as Robert has said several times in this call, when it's best to focus on advertising or this or that, like he set things up for himself 6 months ahead of time when it was a good time to receive a lot of money. He participated in his own destiny.
I you know, I'm in my Saturn period right now as we speak, which is typically the hardest period of the year, but I have a 10 of diamonds right now. And my business has just been doing gangbusters the last month. It's been amazing. It kind of surprised me. I wasn't expecting it would happen in Saturn, but it happened anyway.
Isn't Saturn, typically Saturn is looked at as a taskmaster, a difficult card, but isn't it also known about Saturn that Saturn can bring you like the highest peaks of success?
Well, yeah, Saturn, the Saturn period of the year, which everybody has at the same time, I mean, we all have it sometime during the year, it's typically a time when things are harder to manifest, there's more restriction, but see, I'm 54 years old now, and as you get older, Saturn starts to reward you.
Uh-huh.
Because karma, you know, once we learn our lessons and stop misbehaving like we do when we're younger... You know, being like unaware of other people and not, you know, hurting people, not really being aware of how we're affecting other people. Once we get to the point where we're starting to look at ourselves and say, yeah, I'm not going to do that because that's going to affect other people in a negative way, then Saturn begins to reward us, because that's all that they ever wanted in the first place. Saturn just wanted us to be aware of how we treat other people.
Really?
So now I have a 10 of diamonds in Saturn, and I'm, you know, my business is doing it as good as it ever did on the very best month, so.
Well, if there's anyone who's listening to this recording, and I'll say this in closing, on the call today, and you want to participate in helping Robert Kemp's business by any, you know, thing that you would do, it's a good time to help him out right now. And
you know, you don't even have to. Just there's a lot of free stuff on my website. You can go there and type in your birthday and find out what your card is, and find out what card you have this period, what period you're in, what your long-range card is for the year, and for the card of the day. So you can do all that for free, and there's articles I've written on there. And you can go to your bookstore if you want and just check the book out if you want to. You don't even have to buy it. Just test it. Go on there and test it out and see if it's accurate for you.
Are you still...
And, of course, if you want to buy something and send money, that's always nice, too.
And have you? Are you still doing private consultations? Are you still... Or are you just too?
Yeah, actually, I do quite a few. For some reason, that's been part of my success lately. I've been doing 4 to 5 readings every week. And, yeah, I never know. I don't know when people are going to call. So it's kind of unusual when a lot of people are calling all at the same time. And I, you know, my readings are more focused on helping people solve problems they're facing and get the best out of their life wherever they're at in the future. And a lot of it involves... you know, showing the deeper levels of ourselves so we can find out where the blocks are and so forth.
I think I've had about 3 readings with you over the last few years, maybe, I think 3. And, you know, each time, you know, I considered it, I thought about, you know, paying the money and all of the whole, all the different things. And it's been an interesting and unusual experience, but to relate to Robert Kemp through his, personal readings. That's what we're talking about, where you schedule an hour, I think it is, or something. And,
An hour.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of awesome, actually, to relate to him. But the thing that always cracks me up about Robert is that he's so, as you can tell by being on the call, and this is my opinion again, but I find him to be, you'd think that you're talking just with all this knowledge and everything that he's, it's so inspiring and helpful to relate to Robert Kemp, either through his books or through talking to him in person. But he just seems just so, just like this guy that you're just chatting with, and, you know.
Well, you know, it's fun to be, you know, human, and we're all part of a big three-ring circus here, you know, and we're all funny, right? So I like to laugh at myself and laugh, and, you know, I don't think anything anybody does is bad or weird, because I've probably done it myself many times. And, you know, it's just that some choices we make have consequences, and they don't get us what we want in life. So we need to learn to, you know, we each have our card kind of shows us a pattern that we're born under, a pattern of a certain kind of expression that repeats itself in our life. And once we see it, we have the freedom then to not do that or to do something different. You know what I mean? We have the freedom to say, okay, I can act that way or I can act that way. Now that I know that I tend to act that way.
Yes. And to...
So, you know, we're all... And everybody here is trying just as hard as everybody else to do good and have a good life. So we're all the same, really, you know?
Yes.
We're just all these different faces, but we're all kind of doing the same stuff. And I appreciate your awareness and the way you're talking about me, George. I appreciate the promotion. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on the call and spending so much time with us today. And thank you for everybody who's listening. I feel like we've more than gone as far as we could today, and there's nothing left to say except to once again thank you, Robert Kemp, for being with us today, and thank you to everyone else. And I'm just going to go and let all this absorb and digest and appreciate. It's been a really wonderful time, really good.
Thank you, George, and I want to have you on my radio show one night, too. So let's talk about that soon.
Okay.
Have you come as a guest. I'd like to introduce the work you're doing to my listeners.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd be happy to do that. It's really, it's a pleasure talking with you. It's challenging in a way, because I admire you and respect you and feel awed by you and your work in some ways, but I'm also extremely, you know, curious. I have this pressure to, like, you know, ask you something or, you know, go in a certain direction. And, you know, I really wanted to know more about the Lock Leash thing, and I'm really glad we had a chance to talk today.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, George. I appreciate it.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, George.